Hello, welcome to another episode of Papa Bear Hikes.
We're always talking about ways to get outside, and one of the questions I receive from people, it's not a common question, but occasionally people will say or ask, what do I do? I've suffered an injury. I just don't know if I can hike the miles I used to hike. Getting outdoors has become a little bit more difficult. Well, some people will tell you that getting outdoors, getting back into those activities is therapeutic. Today, to help inspire people that maybe feel like they have to overcome something to get back out there and enjoy the outdoors is Sarah Trankler. Sarah, welcome to Papa Bear Hikes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah, let's start out by telling us a little bit about yourself. You were into the outdoors before this, but then you had an injury. And
October 18th in 2018, I was coming home from work, and the road that I was on, it's a very busy one, Big Bend in South County, St. Louis. I went head on into a left-hand turn into another driver. The seatbelt came undone, and I hit the windshield at 50 miles per hour. I crushed the vertebrae and discs and everything in my neck. I had a split open head, boxer breaks, hairline fractures throughout my back. It was just, you know, I had surgery. I really don't remember a good 6 months of it. But my husband kept telling me throughout it all, you know, you can get better and you can go hiking again. Because everything in my life revolved around those pictures and those moments with my children at the bottom of waterfalls or at the top of a mountain. And I didn't see life as being even worth it if I couldn't be out there. And I couldn't enjoy everything that Missouri had to offer and all of these memories. So I started slowly with my best friend. And I went through all kinds of different products, from the Coleman inflatable mats to hammocks to, you know, anything I could try just to be able to sleep outside at first. We're not even talking about the backpacking. This is just to get yourself out there, you know, and especially affordably, because it's easy to do it with a lot of money. Anything's possible. But most of us don't live like that. And eventually I found products and I found different ways to hack it, you know, and some of them don't get enough recognition, like the Kajaro backpacking cot. It weighs 4.85 pounds. It comes in less than the Helinox, and it is $50, and it's at Walmart. You know, these are things that people don't even realize are out there. When you are injured and you're paying for doctor's appointments and you're paying for acupuncture, this or that, you have to make wise decisions on that backpack. And we can do that.
Yeah, this is something I've talked about, is, you know, the money side of it, is that we shouldn't allow ourselves to get caught up in what I think is brought on by maybe what we see on YouTube a lot of times, or what we're reading in magazines or on blogs. These $200 inflatable mattresses, I've been using one for years to cost me $54. I have some back problems, okay? Not to the extent, I didn't go through what you did, but I know
never,
what it's like.
Never, ever discount your own pain, though. Ever.
Right.
I hate that.
Exactly. I always, yep. I tell people that are looking to lighten their pack, do it to your comfort level. You know, don't do it to the point where you're uncomfortable.
Backpack in the summer, too. I mean, you are never going to see me out doing anything when it is below 40 degrees at night. Because it is a very real reality. If you have metal in your back, it's not going to be comfortable. I don't care what kind of gear you have. This is going to be miserable. If that's your goal, I can't help you. I can help you with the comfortable weather. I have adapted my entire life to that.
So with your injury, it sounds like getting back outside, getting back into hiking, camping, and backpacking, and doing so with your family, with your husband and your children, it sounds like that motivated you, or maybe it was therapeutic in helping you with the healing process.
It's when you have a head injury, the entire world is coming at you constantly. You have to navigate the sounds, the smells, the light, and all of these different sensory inputs. And I mean, even just a change in the temperature can just ruin your day. Getting away from that, and the only thing you have to hear is wind or a frog, it's a whole lot different. And being alone with, more than anything, the solo hiking, being alone with those thoughts and coping with all of the trauma, things that you don't even want to cope with, it can bring you to places that you never thought possible. And when you're dealing with PTSD, you've got people wanting to shove all these pills down you, and they've got all these ideas on how you need to heal, but nobody's asking very simple questions of you, like, what's happening with you? How do you feel? Instead, they have answers for things that they don't have a clue about. And doctors, you know, trying to cure something that they've never been through. And I was a nurse. I get it, but it's not helping. And as a patient, the whole world's looked different. For me, I've healed the most when I'm on a trail, when I hear that waterfall from Minnesota Falls, or I'm climbing up Black Mountain to get to that highest point or most difficult point in Missouri, and thinking, you know what, I've got independence again. I'm doing something that is me, and nobody can take this away from me. No matter my physical condition tomorrow, right now, I'm doing something that nobody can take from me.
Physical injuries, they could take x-rays, MRIs, put a cast on it, pins in it, plates, and fix you as best they can, right? Your back isn't perfect, but they're able to fix it as best they could. But head trauma, mental illness, anything with the brain, I agree with you. I think the person going through it, the person who suffered the injury, they really know what's best to heal them.
They wanted to take my dreams away. They gave me a pill to literally make me stop dreaming. And I just was like, this is not healthy. How about I just go hike somewhere and sleep out in the woods? See how that works out. It seemed a lot healthier and a lot more therapeutic long term.
When you were going out into the woods on your trips, this was by yourself?
A lot has been with my best friend. She moved to Puerto Rico for a year, and I had to really evaluate my dependence on her, even, because we all become codependent on different things in our lives. It could be alcohol, it can be hiking, it can be anything. Well, I was very codependent on my best friend, and I had to relearn how to hike alone again, because I used to solo hike a lot. But then you go through these injuries and you have all this self-doubt and all these questions on, what if I do this? Because I literally snapped my toe climbing the rocks down from out at Crystal River past Carbondale, Colorado. She was with me, luckily. And I, to be perfectly honest, I got a beautiful picture as soon as I got down there. The camera was still safe, just my toe broken. But I was always afraid I would end up more injured alone out there. And with my luck, just injured enough to suffer for days. I've had to get over that. And I've learned how to do it again on my own and plan these trips alone again. And that's very reaffirming to your soul, I guess. It tells you again, you're capable. You know, even your best friend can be a crutch.
Going out and solo backpacking. And I can remember my first time being in a campsite on a backpacking trip by myself. And I tell the story, every leaf that moved, every mouse that might have been out there sounded like it was a giant bear.
Yeah.
So mentally preparing yourself for that part of it, you had to do that all over again.
I grew up so country, though. I mean, I'm from Oklahoma originally, and, you know, even out here, we live pretty rural most of the time. And I have a lot of nightmares of the owl screech right before it grabs a rabbit, and you hear that. There's nothing like that sound in the whole world. Once you've heard that, you're okay. And there's nothing in the Ozarks that's going to really hurt me. The most dangerous thing is the wild hogs, and you know ahead of time whether or not they're in an area. or a beaver. I'm really scared of beavers. Those things are really mean. But other than that, you're really pretty safe in the Ozarks if you're not stupid. And that comes with a lot of, you know, just tenacity, I guess. I don't know that anybody taught me what to do so much as I got to deal with nature. You stay over there and I'll stay over here. We'll all get along fine.
Yeah, it's understanding that you're the visitor. Mm-hmm. You're visiting their home. And you know, ironically,
yes.
A conversation today, one of my hiking buddies about bears. It's the spring and bears are starting to come out. And I live in New York. And some of these bears a lot of these bears in this area have been habituated. So there's like this extra step of caution you have to take. It's one thing to know that I'm in an area where there's bears, but I'm in an area where these bears see me as that guy carrying that thing on his bag, on his back that probably has food in it. And if I watch, if I follow him long enough, he might drop some of that food. Or if he's a jerk, he might just throw his leftovers on the ground for me.
We only have black bears here. And I mean, they're really probably less aggressive than the raccoons. I'm not joking. They are so timid. My husband, when we went to Tahoe to visit my dad back in 2014, we, you know, camped and hiked the whole way there with a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And he was so shocked when we got further west because he'd never been at these massive, you know, bear boxes everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, you don't leave your toothpaste out here, baby. You don't leave anything out. I'm like, there's a good chance that the bears are walking through the campsite as we're sleeping. How's that nylon feel now?
Right. Yeah. How's that going to protect you when you're sitting in there with your snacks? And
yeah. But yeah, we went all the way to Tahoe at, Emerald Island campsite, the state park right there across from the lake. And I'm like, yeah, there are grizzlies everywhere. You do not hike alone out here.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using the permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible high quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, I plan on hiking the Tahoe Rim Trail this summer, and there's a story going around about Hank the Tank, this 500-something-pound bear that's been making his way around the Tahoe, somewhere south of Tahoe City on the west side of the lake, I believe, just going through people's garbage cans. Somebody took a picture of this bear with a slice of pizza in his mouth. Okay.
I've done that hike. It is a great hike. You're going to love that hike. It is so beautiful. Tahoe has got to be one of my favorite places on earth. It's just so beautiful.
It just looks beautiful. Yeah,
my dad lives really right there in Pollock Pines. It's about 25 minutes from Tahoe. A little bit less people. If you get a chance, go over to Jenkins Lake. It's beautiful.
Now, you were talking about, you know, bears and raccoons, and I'm with you. I'm more concerned about a raccoon.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Bears, for the most part, are going to run from you.
We've had them attack the ice chest so badly that we had slingshots out, like 20 of them. No, they are smart, and they're rabid. They can be, if it's August, it's a very good chance that one of them could be rabid. So just stay away from them. Keep a slingshot because in state parks, you can't have a gun.
When you were recovering and you were regaining your consciousness, were you sitting there at any time and saying, am I ever going to be able to go outdoors and do the things I love them? Is this it? is this it for me with these injuries and the head trauma? Was that, were you ever thinking about that early on in your recovery?
Got out of the hospital and see, I was conscious the whole time. That was the worst part. Like there was very real trauma hanging over my eye, you know, and never once lost consciousness through it. And they kept on telling me how lucky I was. And I wanted to strangle everybody that said that because you know what? Luck doesn't belong in the sentence with this. I've got this scar on my head that's never going to go away. I've got these injuries. But they didn't even do an MRI that night. So I got home and I've got a cast on and I've got, my face is just a hot mess. I took a deep breath and it felt like everything in my back just came undone, like a zipper coming undone down your back. And I'm like, we need to go to the hospital or something. Something's not right here. And they did the MRI and they found out that I had all these discs that were just completely gone. And we had to have a fusion done and all of that. And yeah, the entire time I'm thinking, am I ever going to see the bottom of Minnesota Falls? Am I ever going to finish kayaking all of the ONSR in one trip? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? But my best friend came through on that. She started hiking with me that spring. And there's a lot of things I don't remember about that whole 6 to 9 months after it. My husband keeps telling me that it's for the best, that it was very, very bad. But I do remember going on that very first hike with her out at Johnson Shut-Ins and being so overwhelmed. And then we went to the top of Tomsock together. And this was right after COVID had hit and like everything had shut down. So we had a Johnny on the spot up there and that was it on conservation property. And we went hiking that whole area and everything got better. You know, by the end of the summer, we hiked from Loveland Pass all the way down to Western Colorado. So she was pivotal in my life becoming better.
Do you think getting away from all the noise and the distractions that are in our everyday lives, that allow you to inside yourself to start to sort through things and put things back into perspective?
There's times that it's almost, it hurts. I mean, because you're not just dealing with whatever trauma is recent, you're dealing with traumas you haven't ever dealt with. And you think about all of the decisions you make and you cry, you get angry. You feel so lonely, but then you also realize you can do this on your own and you come back from, be it, I don't care what kind of trauma, if it's mental, physical, both, if you can take yourself out to a trail, if it's a 1 hour hike, if it's a 2 week hike, if you finish that, you have a confidence you didn't have before. And that's just that. And you have to remember when you're passing people on these hikes and stuff, everybody's on their own pace. Be kind to people. If you see somebody struggling, stop and talk to them. You know, especially those elderly people that are out there still doing it. Just be kind and take your shit back out. Do not leave it. That is really a pet peeve.
Yeah, I've spoken to a lot of hikers. I know it my own experience. You go out there, you can, if you allow yourself, I think you can come back a changed person. Don't go out there with the goal of changing yourself. But I think when you have that much time, you're hiking sometimes 15, even 20 plus miles a day with some of these through hikers. You have a lot of time to reflect. You have a lot of time to think about the good things, the bad things, what you want to change when you go back home.
You do. You really do. And I think instead of going out there with this idea to change, maybe to heal, you know, having this goal of healing in everything you do. And when you step out there knowing that it's going to hurt, that there's going to be physical pain and there's going to be anger and it's not going to be a movie. You know, it's not going to be, how I put it, a big climax when you get to the top of something. It's not what you saw Reese Witherspoon go through. It's very different. And it's a subtle change that happens long after the hike is over, because you're going to come back home. And whether it's a 1 day hike or a 6 day hike, you're going to feel this post hike depression. And you're going to have to deal with the noise again. You're going to have to deal with people again. And you're going to wonder why the hell you're participating in society again. And you're going to want to go back out. But these are subtle changes, and they come over time. And it's no more of a fix than, you know, going and getting therapy or getting medication. You have to approach this like everything from multidisciplinary and consider it part of your life. And the more you make it a part of your life and involve the conservation of it all, you just become a part of it. You know, you see when nature interacts and you realize that humanity could, if we wanted to.
One of the things when I started doing my multi-week hikes, started learning, and I know my listeners have got to be tired of hearing me say this, but you learn that there still is so much good out there. There's so many good people out there. So many people, so many strangers out there just willing to help other strangers. It's just uplifting.
And I just, you know, it's why I'm trying to keep this away from like even talking about my own heritage or anything like that. Because when we go out there, we can get past any label. We can get past these ideas that we have around other people, whether it be progressive, Republican, hillbilly, this, that, or the other. People are very much the same, and they are very helpful. And they're just working class, and they see you, and they will offer help. And you can talk about things like conservation or how beautiful the landscape is. Everything in this life does not have to be a division. If we could just get back to basic ideas of the goodness of one another, and that we have more in common than we don't. You know, and that's so prevalent throughout the Missouri Ozarks. The people in these little towns and stuff bend over backwards for us that come through, and we hike, camp, kayak, do whatever. They will do whatever they can to help you. And maybe we can stop looking at each other through expectations and get to know each other.
Yeah, I think that when we can remove all these veils or barriers, we're all out there, as I put it, just a bunch of stinky, tired hikers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not teachers or lawyers or nurses. We have one thing in common, and we start talking, and before you know it, we have a lot more in common than we thought. Off the trail, though, and yeah. Unfortunately, we're living in a time off the trail. It seems like our conversations often gravitate to what our differences are.
People are, I did not think it would ever be possible. If you'd have told me in 1996 that people could literally scream in text, I would have never believed you until I saw it on social media. We don't have to be that way. And throughout these little towns in Missouri, especially because you get this division, like if you're in the city, you're this, if you're out here, you're that. Well, who do you think you're going to be talking to when you go out to these places? These are very small towns. These are very rural people. You don't need to discuss who you voted for. Just buy your goods and thank them. That's all.
You know, there was a time when it was very personal. That was your own business who you voted for,
yeah.
Right? People didn't wear their politics on their sleeve. I was raised that way by, you know, I remember my parents saying, I remember asking my father in the 70s, and he'd say, you know, that's, you don't ask somebody who they voted for.
That's why it was private. That's why there's a curtain.
You go into that booth and close. That's right. Yes.
If it was supposed to be known, we'd all raise our hand. But no, the people out there, you know, they really do go above and beyond. We just scheduled a weekend float trip out at the Big Piney, and the floater has just gone above and beyond to accommodate 30 people coming from a Harley Davidson dealership to stay on his private property with electric. He's gone far beyond what would be expected, you know, and I've called several of these outfitters to be like, listen, I have my own kayak and I don't kayak during the weekend. Can I get a shuttle? And they've worked out great prices with me. And this is their bread and butter. You know, this is when they make all their money. Shuttles is not their bread and butter. So they will work with you. So if you want to be a part of like the adventure and the outdoor community and everything, you really, I think the best lesson in it is that you do have to let go of these stereotypes that we put on every single person. You're not your label. You're not what we've been divided into on social media or anything else. You're just a human. You're just a human and you're poor. You're going to stay poor. So try to enjoy it while you can.
Don't dwell on our differences. Don't dwell on what we have or don't have. But just enjoy life.
And I'd really love to see more people with PTSD embrace this type of healing. I think sometimes all these gimmicks out there are so predatory. They are taking you for your money and giving false hope. Sometimes what you really need is just yourself and a battle with the reality of what you've been through. And until you can face that trauma, until you can face all the things that you went through, you're just going to end up in cycle after cycle. This is a really good way to deal with it.
And you had talked about this early in the interview about the frustration of people telling you inside you what you needed to do. I was listening to that and I'm still sitting here and I'm thinking that had to be so frustrating for you. Everybody's, they're telling you what's going on inside you and how to fix it.
Or
throwing pills at you to fix it.
And I feel the most guilt now having ever participated in that type of system that strips the autonomy of the patient, of the person that suffered. And I mean, it never even takes into consideration the dignity. And this is something they want to pound into you in nursing school, patients' dignities, patients' rights. Well, first of all, you only need rights if you don't have freedom. So let's go ahead and get that out of the way. You should never be able to strip a patient of their autonomy for any reason. I don't want to hear about your 72-hour holds. That is human. And you are telling them their reality outside of what they're experiencing. And you're forcing drugs on them that they didn't ask for and a savior that they didn't want. This is problematic. And so many people, because of that trauma that you go through in the medical system, they won't seek any kind of help at all. They're terrified. I mean, you'll be put into a hold. You'll be told you can't leave and that your feelings are wrong. So then you have a suicide issue going up. You have the psych issues actually compounding and becoming worse. This isn't how you go about helping people. And these drugs, the average psych patient goes through so many drugs that they try, well, that one didn't work. Is that okay? I mean, is that really okay to do that to a human or the biochemical mess that you create in that? And I went through it and I remember them putting me on gabapentin for neuropathic pain because opiates were out. Well, okay, fine. I didn't want to be on either, but the gabapentin made me suicidal and have seizures. Every medication that they gave me, the medication was worse than the actual trauma itself. And I don't want anybody else to go through that ever, because there are entire months that they would put me on this and I would go ahead and try it because you're told at least try. And I can't remember them. I was a mess. I take nothing now, nothing. I'll stick to whatever nature pops out, but we're not doing this anymore. I don't want your opiates. I don't want your gabapentin. I had to have surgery from Advil even. I was rushed to the ER for bleeding out from the Advil because they told me that, you know, we can't give you anything stronger for your pain. Well, okay, fine. I have learned how to cope with it and I'll stick with hiking for my antidepressant. And I know the memes that say, you know, don't tell people that this is an antidepressant. Well, also don't tell them that poison is medicine. Because if there's a side effect that can kill you or cause you to kill yourself, it's not medicine. That's not what medicine is. Medicine helps heal you. And we have treated people so badly through it all. And there's a better way. There just is. And smoke some pot and go hike in the mountains. You'll feel much better.
Don't be so afraid to question what your doctor is prescribing you. What are your feelings? I have an idea what your feelings are in this, but question what they're giving you.
Here's the thing. We have mistaken medical research for treatment. And a large majority of medicine now is medical research. You know, it is always a profit. And they have formulas to decide whether or not it will still be profitable after the lawsuits. What does that tell you? So otherwise, medicine itself would no longer be profitable. And we allow things like Advil and Tylenol, which kill far more people a year than, say, psilocybin and THC in its entire history, and have debates like, people shouldn't be allowed to have the autonomy on that. They should be on stuff that will kill them. You have to always consider that these are people that make money off of you being sick. So there's not a lot of motivation for you to ever get better exactly. These surgeries are usually not needed. And after my own surgery and the problems and the pain it caused and what I later found out. And I mean, I'm a nurse. I should have known better, but you don't because you're taught this. You're taught this is right and you do not question it. Now we have an entire nation of people with autoimmune disorders, with physical disabilities, with all of these problems that they say, well, we didn't have the way to diagnose it earlier. Nope, you did. It just didn't exist. It didn't exist.
Or it wasn't profitable enough.
Yeah. So you always have to question the doctor and remember that that is basically your employee. And that these are people that, if it were not a lot of times for their own privilege to be able to go through the internships and not have to work three jobs or whatever, they wouldn't be doctors. We have not gotten the best to the top of the mountain at this point. And with the FDA and the CDC and all of these different bureaucratic messes that are over the doctors, you really need to be questioning it all. I feel so much better since switching to vitamin D3 and magnesium and cutting out everything else. I don't want it. It's not okay. We should not be on this many pills every day. This is wrong. And I'm pretty alone probably on a lot of it. Like even the psych, this is not okay. Our brains, are we really so much smarter than millions of years of evolution?
Sarah, I could do a whole episode. I agree with you. I got to tell you, I'm listening to you and I said, oh, my wife and I have had so many conversations in the same spirit of what you're saying. And not to get too deep into it, or take up a lot of time on it, but you know, just touching on marijuana, I've always said, well, marijuana will be legalized across the country once the pharmaceutical companies can find a way to monopolize it and make money on it.
We both said that. Once they can do that, and the whole thing with the decriminalization of psilocybin, you know, it's not about you not going to jail when they pull you over. By changing that classification with the DEA, it means that pharmaceutical companies can now do research. You're still going to jail, buddy. That's just that.
Yeah. On another subject, Sarah, you've done a lot of hiking with your children. Mm-hmm. You've done some backpacking trips with your children. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
In 2014, I got my first DSLR. I had had, you know, Nikon SLRs before they became digital, but this was really cool for me. And so my husband planned us a lot of hiking trips that summer so I could take pictures of waterfalls and all that. And he planned one of our first ones in June of 2014, Minnesota Mountain with a 18-month-old and a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. And we put the 2-year-old on our back or on his back, and I took the backpack and hiked down that mountain. Well, we ended up buying that pack for her on Craigslist. Luckily it was $30, because I'm telling all parents, do that. You're never going to use it again. Once you go through that trip, you're never backpacking with the 2-year-old again. But we bought, you know, the 4-person dome tents, and we made it as cheap as possible. We got air mattresses whenever we could use them. My kids grew up in a tent. Like, my dad wanted to take them to Disneyland, and I'm like, no. My kids are not going to dig that. My daughter won't even go to the zoo because she said it's not nice to keep animals in jail. Don't take her to SeaWorld and all that stuff. She's not going to dig it. My kids have grown up trout fishing. You know, our vacation is a week-long excursion to Roaring River State Park. Or Easter, we're going to Montauk to do some trout fishing. We've got kayaks. We decided to invest in adventure, get them to love the outdoors, because so much of it is being killed so rapidly. And it's just always a good idea to teach kids how to survive.
Sarah, I think more importantly than that, your kids are going to grow up. They're going to become adults, and they're going to hear about them wanting to start drilling or logging a national park or state forest. And they're going to be able to step back and say, but wait a minute, there's other ways we can produce energy. We don't need to be drilling for oil. We need to protect those lands.
Well, mommy is a citizen of Choctaw Nation, Oklahoma. And I am very much about the renewable resources. I am against even Tesla electric cars because it violates the lithium in these indigenous countries. I am also just not big on progress. Like, progress where? The land does not need to have progress. It just exists. It didn't ask for progress. But so they have seen me fight this, you know, most of their life with the sovereignty issues throughout the Lakota territories and the Sioux and the pipelines going through just about every single treaty land. They're trying to strip something or put something in there. And I try to explain to people, it's no different than going to France and going, okay, the U.S. wants to stick an oil pipeline here. And even though your government said no and voted against it, tough, here we are anyway. That's basically what is going on, because these treaties are nation to nation. And they've all been violated, but that's their land. And when you violate that sovereignty, it's an act of war, basically. So they've seen me fighting against that pretty much their whole life. And even boats on our riverways, I am very just like, there's cruise ships on our rivers. Are you kidding me? Nobody needs a cruise ship on the river. So I have always been very much, you know, the tree does not exist for your convenience. I've told my kids since they were little, when you see a tree, stop seeing the word tree, stop seeing lumber or paper or shade or oxygen, and just see that the tree is as valid of a life as you are. And until we can do that with everything, you know, we're all going to be sick. We're all going to be in constant distress because you cannot poison your environment and expect to be healthy. Think of the aquarium and the fish. If you had a sick fish in an aquarium and you decide you want to make the fish healthy again, would you first clean the aquarium or would you go inside the fish to treat it? And it kind of makes you think about your whole environment then, like, what are we doing? And that's something with a lot of hikers, that is a good thing. We are big on packing in and packing out more than we've taken in. You know, every trip I take out far more than I take in. If only we can get that with everyone. Just, man, it's not yours. That land is everybody's land. That's not your land. That's not my land. That's not the government's land. That's our land. That's the only thing that we truly own in this country together, because they can take everything else for taxes, for non-payment, whatever. That is our land. It is the only land that we can really claim.
Those public lands belong to all of us. And with that ownership comes that responsibility. We're the stewards of that land.
Yes.
And that might mean, as you said, maybe you're packing out some garbage that somebody dropped or just was too lazy to bring out with them. But it also means being an advocate.
It means not crossing over the switchbacks. That's a big pet peeve. I hate seeing people cross those. Or you don't start a fire. You take in your little stove, things like that. There's these rules in place for a reason. And while the Ozarks aren't necessarily one matchstick away from a wildfire, a lot of places are. And if you are not aware constantly, you're going to cause so much suffering to the wildlife, to the land itself, and you're going to devastate forests that we aren't going to have back for hundreds of years.
I sincerely mean, I think that's great what you're doing with your kids. And I think they're going to grow up to be responsible adults, advocates for our public lands, and most importantly, question what they hear.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it's great for kids to know. It's okay to question what you hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't,
just because somebody's standing up at a podium with a tie on or wearing a lab coat is no reason not to question what they're saying to you.
And if you ever need to look at why you should question, watch the Nuremberg trials. I mean, you always have to question. Authority itself is always going to protect itself and always wants more authority. And you always have to be the backstop to that. And make sure that it never encroaches too far on you. And that also means, you know, protecting those public lands, because money trumps everything in this country. And one of our biggest fights right now is keeping those public lands ours. Every initiative for another hiking trail, every initiative for public parks and conservation, we have to get behind it. It's not a right versus left issue. It is very much a biodiversity ecosystem issue. And you can't drink oil.
But the environment, it shouldn't, and it gets politicalized way too often.
Everything.
And yeah. And you know what? It's the old G word.
And you always have to step into every conversation like, I'm not right or left. I'm just saying.
Yes. Right. If you say the wrong thing, you're a this or a that. And then all of a sudden you're arguing over politics. Yeah. Yeah. You can't possibly advocate for this and believe something else.
Missouri, though, Missouri has problems, no doubt. I love my state and I want to be nowhere else on earth. We have the best parks and recreation and conservation and state parks anywhere. Hands down, we have them protected. I can't throw a rock without hitting a conservation department within 20 miles of me. You know, they're everywhere. And they are well protected. They're well taken care of. People volunteer and we fund them well. That is the one thing. I wouldn't leave Missouri for that reason alone. We very much love our outdoors, and the Ozarks is some of the most biodiverse ecosystem on the entire planet, with some of the oldest organisms that came out of evolution. They've been around so very uniquely here among anywhere else because of the way the glaciers went across the land.
Now, on the topic of the Ozarks, you had mentioned to me that you're hiking the Ozark Trail. You know, you have sectioned hiked portions of it. Now you're looking to complete the trail?
Yes, I've done sections. You know, obviously I've been here 20 years. So I've done Berryman and just large sections all the way down, but they've all been separate. This October, I want to do the entire Ozark Trail starting at Onondaga Cave Park, going all the way down to the border of Arkansas, past Joplin and everything. It's just over 270 miles. It doesn't connect completely through the Ozark Highlands yet. That is probably another 10 to 15 years away, unfortunately. The entire Ozark Trail will eventually go from St. Louis all the way down through the Ozark Highlands, and it'll be about 700 miles. But that's another 10 years away, easily. Right now, you can do Onondaga. You could even do the rivers and make it all the way through by going through Bull Shoals and everything on kayaks. But to do the entire trail, you have to do Onondaga down to, I guess it's about past Joplin.
Are you planning this to be a summer trip?
Beginning of October.
Past the hot, humid, bugs are going to be a little bit less, much less of an issue in October.
Right. You can still trout fish and you have all of the gourmet edible mushrooms in full bloom. So this gives you many more opportunities on the trail. It means you can carry less and have a little bit of fresh food. If you know how to hunt for mushrooms, I guess, and know how to fish. It's an option in Missouri that's pretty unique because we have an amazing fall mushroom harvesting time. Plus, along all of the trails, you've got all of these rivers from the Merrimack Plateau to Anser and hitting Levin Point. You've got trout all the way along. You've got bass, all kinds of fish. So you get a lot more opportunities to get real protein and nutrients into you.
Is that part of your plan, is to pretty much forage or find your own food?
Or are you going to have some feed? Oh, I'm taking food.
You're going to do some resupplying? Yeah. You're going to be doing some resupplying along the way?
No, my husband will be doing the resupplying along the way.
Right. He'll be meeting you, right, and bringing you.
Right. It's just a way. I mean, anybody that gets tired of dehydrated military rations and, canned. If you can fish and grab a few mushrooms, I mean, I already search for chicken of the woods every year anyway, so why not do it out there?
I'll tell you what, Sarah, we'd love to have you back on after you finish that trail. Share that with us.
I would love to. I am, right now, I am hiking constantly to build up my stamina. I just did 3 miles at LaBarque the other day with like my whole pack, the Kajaro caught. It's under 5 pounds. Wanted to see how it'd feel. And I've ordered one of those inflatable loungers to see how it works. I don't know that it would do very well in the fall, though, because the ground is colder. So you're going to have that cold air emanating up at you and hurting you. The cot, though, is really comfortable. And you get rid of the mat, and it kind of all works out. I'm just wanting to make sure I have the exact gear I want and make sure that my stamina is there, because I feel like if I don't complete it, I'll be crushed kind of thing. So I really want to get through it. It's one of those, I can't half-ass this. I want to get all the way through it. And this is my stomping grounds, damn it. I am going to get through it. These are my Ozarks. These are the rocks and the trails that I hit every chance I get. I got to own that.
Sarah, I just think it's amazing that with what you went through, your physical trauma and the recovery, and now you're going to do this 270-mile trail. I just think that's amazing. And I'm guessing a big part of what you have to do, though, to deal with this trauma is, like, so you're trying to, you've got to maybe take steps that a lot of hikers might not have to, and that's having your gear dialed in so that it can be a comfortable trip, so you can.
You have to learn how to redistribute all of it. And before you plan a trip like this, you aren't going to be getting away with the cheaper gear a lot of times. You're going to have to really upgrade, and the shoes have to really be on point, because all of these little things impact how you're going to be able to make it through. Even your field kit for emergencies, I'm going to have Voltaren cream in there. You know, it even changes, and it's going to probably take me longer because I understand that there are going to be 1 or 2 days that I might have to just sit there beside the current river and eat a few edibles and know that I'll have to go again tomorrow. It's not going to be straight through. I can't expect my body to be what it was before the wreck. I'm going to have to compensate and give myself a little bit more time and not expect the same mileage or pace as somebody that is 25 without slamming into a windshield. And that can be done. I mean, I don't understand the rush anyway. You're out there to see everything. Why rush it? Society will still be there. It'll still be gnawing at you.
When I went back to the long trail, Sarah, I just thought, you know what? On that trail, there's shelters or a place to camp about every 5 miles. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? There'll be days when I might hike 15. There'll be days when I only want to hike 5. But I'm out here to enjoy this and take it all in.
If you're trying to get right back, if you're trying to get back out into it and you've had a really bad injury, whether it is a spinal trauma or whatever it is, get affordable gear and go out for one night. Go out for just a camping trip. Somewhere close that if it doesn't work out, you can get back home. But every single time you get back out there, and even if it's for one day, 1 hour, just get out there. Just get out there and just push yourself a little bit further. And the pain becomes less because you're so focused on these goals and this beauty around you and the next place you can see. You know, every chance to see a new place. You know, I haven't even gone to Shawnee National Park because there's so much in the Ozarks. I'm going to have to force myself this year.
You know, Sarah, I'm glad to hear that because I just recently did an episode on that, telling people, even if you have to borrow gear, just do an overnight, short overnights, mile to a few miles in, see how you like it.
Yeah.
But you can always borrow gear. Or as you said, for short hikes, it's okay getting cheap gear. If it's only a short,
absolutely.
I wouldn't recommend doing an AT through hike with cheap gear, but
no.
Yeah. You're just getting started out.
My husband's probably more insistent that I upgrade on stuff than I would be because you always overestimate yourself, I think, or you don't want to invest in yourself as much as the people that love you. He's the one who kind of pushes me on, no, you probably had ordered this, or no, get rid of that. It's heavy. You're going to need this. He was an Eagle Scout, though. Go figure. It'll make you feel better. And eventually you'll find that the pain isn't as bad. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'll have kratom with, I use a lot of kratom when I'm hurting, and it's abundant in Missouri. They tried to ban it here, and that went over for all of 24 hours. Missouri likes their autonomy. And so we have it back, but it helps the pain more than Advil. It helps the pain more than any opiate. And I can get through anything just taking a few of those and, you know, a little bit of topical cream. You'll get through it. And when you're done, even if you're sore or you've got blisters or you feel better, you just feel like you just did alone on fucking TV. Sorry.
It's okay.
You feel That's so okay. good for about yourself when you've gone out there and you've done that. And it doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. And don't be scared about being a woman alone. There is so much hype to that. Out on the trail, you're probably safer than you're going to be anywhere else. You're safer than you are in a car. You're safer than you are on an airplane. There are way more disasters awaiting you on a cruise ship than there ever is on a trail. And when you bag your poop on the trail, it doesn't have to go into a carry-on bag.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up because, and it's odd in this day and age, but I've had female hikers say this, that, you know, this reaction that, you know, oh, you're a woman and you're going to hike out there by yourself. You're right. The truth is it's more dangerous and, you know, in your hometown, walking around locally or in a city, than it is being out there on the trail. And you know what? It's not any safer for me as a male than it is for you.
No, because I mean, yes, humans are always your most dangerous creature. But on a lot of these trails, you're probably not even going to really pass that many humans. Keep your hunting knife or whatever with you, some mace and a whistle. Keep that whistle. That's going to be your biggest thing, is having that whistle. It will throw off any predator, man or beast. And it's a lot more important than a gun or anything else. You're going to, most of the time in situations, and I am not anti-gun, I'm aware, I would end up with two holes in my butt if I carried a gun out on a long trail. That is a lot of gear, and that is a, it does you no good unless it's loaded and where you can grab it. So this creates a lot of opportunities to hurt yourself. Mace, a stun gun, and a whistle, you should be fine. I mean, chances are you're not going to pull that gun out quick enough to do anything anyway, other than hurt yourself.
Well, yeah, exactly. You got to assume you can get to it fast enough and that the person that you're in this confrontation with doesn't get to your gun before you can.
Right. Or, you know, end up accidentally shooting somebody because you were startled. You're already on high alert. And these are times that you really have to weigh that out. I mean, I am absolutely not against guns. I'm against putting yourself in more danger with a gun. You know, I think for myself, it would be a bad idea. And the only animal out there that scares me is a feral hog. Well, that's going to take a lot of gun. So
I'm going to need a big gun to stop a feral hog.
Right. I'm not going to be carrying that out on the trail. But I do understand after the attack on the Appalachian Trail, what was it, a year or two ago that happened?
2 years ago, I believe. 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. It's a few years ago, yeah.
I understand. But I think being more aware that it's happened and keeping that mace and stuff near you is a probably better way to go about it, for me at least. And I'm not going to tell other people what to do. For me, I'm not going to be carrying a gun out there because, I mean, PTSD, gun, alone on a trail, that all seems to come into a really, really bad recipe.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like you said, I mean, a gunshot, it's going to happen once. It's not like you can say, oops, I'm sorry, let me get a Band-Aid for you.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not anti-gun. That's just a fact.
You're hiking.
It's
not
like,
hunting.
Oops, I didn't mean to shoot you. Oh, I'm sorry. You were just saying hello and you scared me.
We're hiking. We're not hunting. And
right.
You need to at least know your own capabilities. And I know mine. And I also know that I am really high strung and it's just a really bad idea. I mean, really bad idea. So, and I don't really like the idea of running into other hikers with guns either. We're not exactly a community of GIs. Most of us are granola eating environmentalists.
These pot smoking hippies. It's, yeah, that's what I like.
Exactly. Everybody's high out there. Let's not have guns.
Right. Well, if everybody's high, nobody's going to need the guns.
Exactly. And I promise I will be.
Sarah, can we follow you? Are you on social media? I know you take a lot of pictures. Is there somewhere we can go to see some of your photos?
I am on Instagram under Sarah Trankler. Other than that, I really kind of abandoned Facebook a lot in the last couple years. I don't find it healthy. It's just this vacuum chamber of political nonsense. And I don't have a favorite team. I kind of, you know, repudiate all of them. So I just get so tired of the constant sensationalism. And with Instagram, I found more of a hiking community, let's smoke pot and eat mushrooms community. And I don't want to engage in the stress any longer. You know, I was a director for the American Indian Movement. I helped in Columbus Day in St. Louis. I've given my life to fighting all of these injustices and these causes. And after hitting that windshield, I've just kind of got to make my own utopia at this point. I don't want to spend my life angry. I don't want to spend my life spinning my wheels and screaming at faceless strangers online. So I've really backed away from a lot of social media. It's overwhelming to me. And to have people with no base of knowledge about you screaming at you, it's just like, whoa. It becomes so much for me, and I don't want to do that anymore. I would rather just take pictures and video of the nature and share it on a platform and move on. And if you've got something controversial to say about a long exposure waterfall, then hats off to you.
That's right. Yeah, if you can make an argument about that, then wow, you've really got problems.
Yeah, you know, I want a little bit of joy. I spent 4 decades just seeing nothing but the worst of humanity. I want to see the best of nature.
And,
now.
And social media, fact is, social media has a tendency to bring out the worst in people, from what I've seen.
Yeah. And what it's done is made us hate half the country right out the gate. I mean, based off of these very little tiny bits of their soul, and I just don't want any more of it. Come hike with me. I bet you we'll get along. And if we don't, you know, at least we gave it a try.
Yep, absolutely. Sarah Trankler, I want to thank you for sharing all this with us. Because I know this might, you know, this was a traumatic experience you went through, and to come on this podcast and share it with our listeners, I'm sure it definitely took some courage, and I'm glad you did that, because people need to hear this. They need to know there's hope.
There is.
That there are other people that have suffered these injuries and are right now maybe even questioning, how am I going to get through this? Am I ever going to get my life back to normal?
In kayaking too, I'd like to say, you know, if backpacking through is a lot, and it is, maybe the gear is too heavy, consider kayak camping. We're doing a lot of it. I just got a kayak for Christmas from my husband. You can put gear in there that you can't carry on your back to make it more comfortable, and it gives you such an opportunity to see the same nature, maybe even from places you can't see from a hike.
Yeah, I've kayaked on the Delaware River, and I've hiked above the Delaware River on a Kittatinny Ridge and looked down at it. And it's a totally different experience.
If you ever come to Missouri, I will take you on a kayak hike throughout Onser. It is so beautiful. You can hike and kayak all of the Ozark Trail.
I may have to take you up on that someday if I get out to Missouri. You know, the thing is, doing this podcast, I get to meet so many really nice people and cool people, and my list is growing of places I need to go to hike. And but Missouri, you've convinced me, Missouri needs to be on that list. I've got to take a closer look at the Ozark Trail, possibly for 2023.
Oh, you've got, look at the biodiversity in the caves and the natural spring. I could go on for literally weeks just talking about one section of it. It is just, I could never ever want to live anywhere else. This is my home.
Sarah, we're going to definitely have you back on then to talk about maybe even before your hike. Because of the extra preparation you need to take for your hike, I think what we're going to do is we're going to talk to you before your hike, and I'd like to talk to you afterwards.
I would love that.
Podcast, if you wouldn't mind. That'd be great. Okay, Sarah, once again, thanks for giving up your time and sharing all this with us.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.